chapter 2. Not in Hallmark greeting cards. Some of them are good, but I tell you, if you're looking for something profound that you want to communicate about Christmas, go right here. Luke chapter 2, for it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." God, in His grace, draws people to Himself. And I pray that that's what you will experience today. So let us pray together. Oh God of grace, God of mercy, God of wonders, majestic, wonderful, and good, we pray that you would speak to us this morning, that you will reveal your glory to us this morning even more, that this morning service will not be just one of those familiar time where it's boring because we sing, we read, we listen to the sermon, but we never feel anything different. And so come, Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning and show us peace. Draw us to yourself that we may experience your greatness and be like the angels in our response, praising your glory, for you are God. Use this text to remind us of this ancient story that will never, never be forgotten. Ancient story that will never end because it is about your glory. Transform our thinking. Renew our minds. Renew our hearts this morning so that this Christmas celebration will be wonderful, knowing that it is about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is an incredible reality in the text. It is the truth that the glory of God in heaven is what creates peace upon His people on earth. So let me say that again. The glory of God in heaven is what creates generates peace upon His people on earth. What it says here in our text is that if we are going to have peace on earth, it can be experienced by delighting in the glory of God. This is precisely what the angels were doing, rejoicing and delighting in the glory of God as they announced the birth of Christ on earth. And it was the greatest news in human history. So my gift for you this Christmas is not wrapped. It's not in a box. My gift for you today is what God wants you to have. This gift is priceless, but it is without cost. God wants you to have peace with Himself through the expense of His own Son, Jesus Christ. God sent His Son on earth because what you need the most this season is peace with God. Delighting in Jesus is what will make your Christmas utterly joyful and pleasant. It is the glory of God that will make this day wonderful as you get together with your family and friends, and as you sit around tables or maybe gather around the Christmas tree to open gifts. It is exalting in the name of Jesus, just like what the angels did, that will make this day memorable and joyful. So for this reason, I want to exalt with you in the God of our salvation over the wonder of this text, particularly in what it says in verses 11 through 14, glory to God in the highest and peace among on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. So let us focus on what Christmas Day is all about and how it is meant to give us peace. I'm going to give you three descriptions of Christmas and what it's meant to give us peace. So this is the first one. Christmas is a display of the glory of God. That's what we just read from Luke chapter 2, 11 through 14. Christmas Day is a remembrance of a spectacular event that happened in history, and it was God who initiated it. The birth of Christ occurred because of God's gracious and wise providence. That's why it says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day." It happened on a day. It was a day which God appointed, so it didn't just happen unintentionally. It was not something that people decided they would like to observe based on some fictional experience. And certainly it was not a day in some mythological, imaginary story, but a day when Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome and Quirinius was governor of Syria. The birth of Christ was an event planned by God in eternity before the creation of the world, and God wants His glory known. This is the center of it all. God wants His glory known, and it was for this occasion that the world was made. And that's why it says, "For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever." God's purpose in the birth of Christ is to display His glory on earth and for people whom He created for His glory to find peace, to experience peace. It is above all to let the people know that there is a God, the one who guides all the events in the world, and as the one who is the most absolute in every sense. No one is above Him. No one can exist apart from Him. And this is what God wants you to comprehend about the birth of Christ. God is sovereign over human history. God is sovereign over everything. And that's why it says in Psalm 67, verse 4, "You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth." God guides the nations with all their billions of decisions each day. All these nations are not sovereign, and their decisions are not random. They are guided by God. They are led by God. He is the ultimate cause of everything that happens in the world. Daniel 2:21 says, "He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings." And in verse 35 of chapter 4, "All inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?'" God is in control of all the events in history, and so the birth of Christ is His plan. And that's why also in Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, it says, "I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning." That's what it says, declaring the end from the beginning, "and from ancient times, things not yet done. My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." These references point to the fact that the birth of Jesus on earth was God's design. It was definitely His purpose that Christ was born in a real city, the city of Bethlehem. And Luke chapter 4, of chapter 2, verse 4 again says, Joseph also went from Galilee to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Edward highlighted that earlier. It was the city of Bethlehem was 6 miles away from Jerusalem. It was also the city where Jesse lived, the father of David, the great king of Israel. And it was the city of Bethlehem that Micah prophesied over, saying, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days." So when the angel announced this news to the shepherds in verse 11 of our text and pointed them to the animal shed where the baby lay, and then more angels, an army of angels, perhaps thousands of thousands of angels appeared, and what they were and singing praises to God. What do you think they were doing? What do you think was this all about? What were the angels doing? What they were doing, according to John MacArthur, well, they were doing what angels always do. Praising God. Praising God. Praising God. That's all they do. They praise God. And what were they praising God about? You say they were praising God. But what about God they were praising Him for? They were saying, "Glory to God. Glory to God." They were praising the glory of God. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. God meant for His glory to be rejoiced in by the whole universe. So as you can see, only one angel brought the news. But it did not suffice for one angel to respond to the news, because the ultimate outcome of this news is about the infinite glory of God that will bring peace on earth. Joyful news, the joyful news on that day is that at the perfect fullness of time, in the perfect prophesied city, a Savior was born who is Christ, our Lord. This is the greatest news that God has for you and for me. And it was this news that will point you to the peace of God. The birth of Christ is ultimately about the exaltation of the glory of God in heaven and on earth. It is also about peace being established. And so what else then can we see from the text about Christmas? First, we see the glory of God being proclaimed up in heaven. And this next one is about peace on earth being generated by the glory of God. So that's the connection. Glory of God and this glory generating peace on earth. And that's our second point. World peace is wonderful. It's a wonderful idea. But it's not something humans can generate. Many people want it. But it's not something we can achieve in and of ourselves. You want peace, I want peace. People long for this. But without Christ, peace is something people cannot dream about, can only dream about. It's only something that they can kind of see from a distance. But without Christ, it will never become a reality. The great civilizations of antiquity, such as the Roman Empire, thought they had it, only to find out that they were not even close to it. And similarly, in the postmodern world, we think that there is peace in prosperity. We think that there is peace in cultural advancement. But the reality of it all is that people remain in despair and in misery. True peace is only from God through Jesus Christ. It is not found in anything else. It is about having God at the center of our lives and God and Christ being our sole delight. And there are numerous references in the Bible about the glory of God bringing peace to the world as we delight in Him. Listen to what the New Testament says about, or what Jesus says and what Paul says about peace. In several references, Romans, Philippians, and Thessalonians, Jesus is called the God of peace. Paul said, Jesus Himself, in Ephesians 2:14, Jesus Himself is our peace. And Jesus said, "My peace I give to you," in John 14:27. So, if Jesus is the most delightful being in your life, you will have peace throughout all the seasons of life, including whatever calamities and troubles you face. If Jesus is at the center of all that you do, if Jesus is what you treasure, then peace will dwell in your heart. But what kind of peace does the glory of God bring into the world? When Christ was born in the world, on earth, and that the angels rejoiced and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth with whom He is pleased." What peace is that all about? The answer is salvation peace. God's peace is not about having a fulfilled life. It's not about comfort of the mind or rest of the spirit. It is about salvation. This is what peace with God means. The war we created with God because of our rebellion is over because God ended it by giving us His Son. So if you delight in Him and you love Him and adore Him, you are saved from His wrath. Through Christ, God is no longer your enemy and you are reconciled back to Himself. The adoration of the angels over the good news of the Savior's birth is to announce in the highest place the glory of God and in the lowest place here on earth, salvation to sinners like you and me. God's purpose is to give you and I peace by having the most glorious person in our life, which is Christ Himself. And furthermore, God's gift of salvation means that the peace of God or the peace of Christ can never be taken or can never be separated from us. Christ Himself becomes our God. Christ Himself becomes our shepherd. Christ becomes our protector and deliverer. Christ becomes our shield. Oh, how deceived we are. In a rebellion with God, we think that the gods we created for ourselves will give us peace. But no, there is nothing in the world that will give us peace. So if we want this salvation, peace to rule in our lives, God must rule in our lives. God's purpose is not to give us a sense of renewal or a sense of peace apart from Himself. His purpose is to give us peace by having, by being our God. He wants to be our God. And that's why it says in verse 14, it ends with an interesting statement, with whom He is pleased. Now, I was astounded at some point. Alex and I were looking for a text to read last, this was last Tuesday, as we were going caroling. We were at New Hope Baptist Church, and we were going to ask Edward to read something, and we picked up a Bible on the table. I don't know what translation that was. I don't know. Alex might remember. You can ask him later. And we were looking at this translation here, at the Bible, and it says, peace among those people who please God. You remember that? And I was thinking, that is far from the translation we read here. Because Alex, as Alex pointed, we cannot please God in and of ourselves. And that's why this verse 14 can be, is interesting. You have to be careful in how you read it. Because this could be misleading, as it might sound like God is going to give salvation or peace to those who earn it, to those who can please Him. This could also sound like God is going to bring peace and goodwill to those who are determined to please Him. But the Greek literally says, man of His good pleasure. And the alternative reading here is that, or the best reading would be, peace among men of His good pleasure. Or to put it another way, peace among men of His goodwill. It's not men who have earned it. It's God who has given it. Because it's His pleasure to give it. Therefore, salvation, peace belongs to whom God is pleased to give it. And there are some, and we know this, there are some in whom God chooses, in whom He wills salvation. It's not that, it's not, salvation is not the result of what good men have done. Salvation is the result of what God, or good God, has done. And so angels are not rejoicing and glorifying God for what men have done or will do. Angels are not rejoicing that some men will merit salvation. In fact, they are glorifying God because through the grace of God, salvation was accomplished. Salvation was given. God is pleased to give it by His own good pleasure. How do you know? How do you know then? If you are a son of peace, how do you know if you have peace? How do you know if you are saved? Is the question, is the ultimate question. How do you know if you have experienced or have been given this gift of salvation? The answer to this is that you receive, when you receive the great peacemaker, Jesus Christ, then you have the peace of God. Then you are at peace with God. So the point is this, that even though God's offer of peace goes out to all, Only those who receive Christ. Only those whom He has chosen will receive peace and will be saved. Because Jesus said, if you do not repent, if you do not receive me, if you do not follow me, which we talked about last Sunday, you will never go where I'm going. That's what Jesus said. And so if you receive Jesus and you accepted Him in your life as your Savior, you have peace with God and you are going where Jesus is. That's the answer. And so this leads then to the last point of what Christmas is all about, or what this glory of God is, bringing peace on earth. It gives you a reason for living. It gives you a reason for what you are supposed to do. And that is, the pursuit of the glory of God is the pathway to peace. Everyone in this room has a longing, has a pursuit, has a desire. But what I'm telling you here is that the desire, the pursuit of God's glory, right? The glory of God is the pathway, the same way. So when you pursue God, it leads you, or it takes you in that path to peace. St. Augustine, one of the greatest theologians in the history of the world, says, "Thou hast made us for Thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in Thee." And so the most basic need we have is peace with God. And we will not find that rest or peace without God if we do not pursue God. There will be no peace. This is foundational to all of our pursuits. And so for this reason, my challenge for you, my admonition for you, is to seek God. To seek God first, or above all. Otherwise, all other experience of peace will be superficial and temporary. If you're looking for peace, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you will find it. You will find it. And what this means for you and me is to put our hope in God for our salvation and to live by faith alone in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because salvation is by faith alone in Jesus. It's not by works. It's not by our determination. It's not by tradition. It's not baptism or by church membership. It is by faith alone. When we believe in Jesus as our Savior and Lord and consider Him as the supreme treasure of our lives, we are united with Him and His righteousness is counted to us as righteousness. That means we are justified by faith and not of works, and we have peace with God, our peace with Christ. So let me close by saying this. You know, Christmas time can be stressful. There are times when there can be a lot of tension during Christmas time in families. There's sometimes loneliness, even loneliness escalates during Christmas time. And there are some who would rather just miss this entire season because it's awful. And that is because this world is a lonely place. But God has good news. In spite of these troubles, in spite of the awfulness of there is in the world, the good news is that God is glorious and He is giving you Himself. He is giving you Himself. He gave you His Son. The purpose of everything then is that God will be glorified, and for eternity that He will be glorified not only with by the angels, that He will be glorified in your life if you put your hope and trust in Him. Christmas is one of the occasions, if you are looking at Jesus, where this experience is already fulfilled. Peace that will never fade away. Peace that will never end. And peace that is beyond description. And that's why Paul says, we are sorrowful and yet rejoicing. How can he say that? Sorrowful and yet rejoicing. The reason is because he is, in saying that, he has the peace of God ruling in his heart. And so the angels and saints will exalt joyfully in the glory of God for all eternity, but you can also rejoice in the glory of God now because of what God has done. The goal of God in history is twofold. Glory to God in the highest, that's the first thing. And peace among His people, the second thing. So there is a reason for your rejoicing today. Jesus is with you. We sang about Him earlier. He is Emmanuel. He is with you and He is with me. Don't ignore Him. Pursue Him. That's the challenge. Pursue Him as the highest joy in your heart. Delight in Him. That's our sermon series. Delight in the glory of God, and you will find joy. The angels in heaven are rejoicing in the presence of God. And you will be there too. If you follow Him, if you pursue Him with all of your heart. And so again, this is the reason why the angel announced, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Christ was born on a day, in a real city, as a Savior, Messiah, and Sovereign Lord. God gave His Son to you and me in order that He would get glory and that you would know peace. May the God of peace give you peace, and may He get His glory in your life this Christmas. Let us pray.